What's up, everybody? Thanks again for stopping by for another edition of March 4th with Mike Bauman. I, of course, am your host, Mike Bauman, whoever you are, wherever you are listening from. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you're a returning listener, I greatly appreciate your continued love and support. And if you're a brand new listener of the show, man, thank you so much for hopping aboard that pirate ship. You can follow me on Instagram at March 4th Pod, on YouTube at March 4th Pod. My TikTok is March 4th Podcast. The link tree to all of my stuff is in the podcast description for this episode. So if you made it here, that means you found me somehow. And I truly appreciate each and every one of yous checking out another edition of the March 4th with Mike Bauman Podcast. I want to give a shout out as we get this puppy started to the Tennessee Highlighter, all the wonderful people over at Nashville Voyager, man, and the branches, Canvas Rebel. I've been fortunate to have been featured in a couple of different online publications over the years, and they're all branches of Nashville Voyager. And the latest one was the Tennessee Highlighter feature that they just did on me, which was really cool, man. I'm super humbled and super grateful for the love and support that I get from all of you, and to be able to make enough positive ripple effects in the waters that I swim in, that I'm making enough noise in a good way that there's publications out there who like to spotlight up and coming creators and people who are on the come up like myself, man. It's really awesome. So thank you to everybody who checked that out. If you're interested in checking that out, that is in the link tree. That just came out on April 2nd, my brother's birthday. Shout out, Greg. I love you. But it was cool, man. It's just a cool little feature about what I'm doing with the show, things in Nashville that I enjoy, a little bit about the old journey, man. And like I said, I've been fortunate to be in a few of them over the last couple of years, going back to 2022. And it's cool, man. You know, you don't do these things to go look at me, or at least I don't. I can't speak for anybody else, but you know, I do this because I truly love to connect with people in a positive way and share conversations that hopefully inspire all of you to go out and chase your dreams the way the guests on the show do, and to persevere through whatever darkness you're going through in your lives. But, you know, it is cool when you start to kind of get some positive reinforcement back and to get some flowers, as the kids today say. So if you're interested in checking that out, it's the Tennessee Highlighter, and it is in my link tree in the podcast description for this episode. So shout out to Megan and all the good people over there, man. I really appreciate y'all. And speaking of appreciation, man, I don't want to spend too much time pontificating in the beginning of this, because I know sometimes your boy can go on some rants, but the year's off to a great start, man. And again, I just can't thank you all enough. But this week's guest is a guy who's been on the podcast maybe more than anybody at this point. And, you know, as somebody who's from Northwest Ohio, the 419, Toledo to be specific, anytime I see somebody from my neck of the woods doing their thing, chasing their dreams, making stuff happen, you know, making cool things happen and you know, just going after what they love, man, I love to shine a light on them. Me and this guy go way back, all the way back to, I think, 2012. So it's been 12 years now since we first got in touch. His name is Wes Anderson. He is a guitarist who is based in Baltimore, Maryland. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but, you know, Wes's journey is one of a guy who, you know, went to school like a lot of us did, started working, got a big boy job, was in Chicago, and just wasn't super fulfilled. And he took the opportunity to join the band Fiction 20 Down. He actually auditioned for them, got in the band, and was with them for a little bit. They were based in Baltimore. That's what took him to Baltimore. And then he went down his own musical path and has done numerous collaborations over the years with his singles, and has really crossed from hip hop to, you know, different levels of rock and roll in the hip hop realm. I mean, everybody from the Kaleidoscope Kid to Kosha Dills, MC Bravado, Mayday, Trey from Sherry Amore, who they bill themselves as New Punk. And actually, Wes's collab with Trey put me onto Sherry Amore, who Trey is the front man of, and they're doing some big things right now. And then in the rock realm, man, he did a remix actually of the song Red Cup Dub with Trey from Sherry Amore with DJ Lethal. Work with guys from Hit the Lights, Ballyhoo, Alien Ant Farm, Skindred, Taproot, the list goes on. He's gotten to collab with Peanut from 311, like who is his, you know, that's his guys, you know. 311 is Wes's band, man. So, you know, he's done a lot of really cool things over the years, and it's just been awesome to track his journey. And we usually get to catch up, like, if not once a year, once every couple of years. He's always kind to make time to come on the show and share his journey with the listeners. And this conversation is a fun one because Wes also has a marketing background outside of his musical pursuits. In his career space, he's really good with marketing. So on this one, we get into how he switched up his strategy in 2024 and kind of what led to that. And you know, right out the gate, man, he's put out some bangers to start the new year. I Was Stuck in a Loop and Don't Forget Your Parachute are in that chill hip hop realm with the Kaleidoscope Kid. And the latest one, Drive Down a Different Road, just came out on March 22nd. That one features Kosha Dills and MC Bravado. And I'm just loving the vibes right out the gate, man. Again, that's another one that's in like a cool, spacey kind of hip hop realm. And there's also going to be some rock stuff on the horizon, as you guys will hear as well. So, but this is a great episode for anybody who, you know, maybe you're thinking about chasing your dreams or starting a business, or what does it look like once you go after your dreams and maybe you got to switch up your strategy. And, you know, we talk about the marketing strategy and the marketing side of the music business and how that helps Wes having that knowledge and kind of trial and error things that he's done. And also what he's got on deck for 2024, man. Like I said, right out the gate, he released I Was Stuck in a Loop at the beginning of the year. I believe that one, yeah, that was back in January. That was January 26th, to be exact. And when I heard that song, man, like I really related to that because mentally I've been there where I feel like I'm stuck in a loop, or I ruminate too much, or I get stuck in these negative thought patterns. And so that one spoke to me a lot. And then right after that one, he dropped Don't Forget Your Parachute and then Drive Down a Different Road. And I'm like, man, Wes is just churning out the hits right now. So I couldn't have got him back on at a better time to discuss his journey with you and the listeners and what he's got in store for 2024. So without further ado, I'm going to shut my big yapper and give you guys my conversation with Wes Anderson. Here it is. Wes, thank you so much again, man. Like we were talking before the jump, we've known each other a long time. We have Northwest Ohio roots, and I think there's common threads with us just like chasing down the stuff we love, man. And I'm really excited for the stuff that's already come out in 2024 from you. So thanks for coming back, man.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love the you know, once annual, whatever it is, catch up. You know, it's like I do that with you more than some of my own family members. So it's always cool to, you know, reflect 1 year later on what we've been up to and still have going on. And yeah, as we get older, it's really tough to continue to surround yourself with people that are chasing a passion, because, you know, once you get our age, it's like other life things start happening for people, and it can take away from the passion. So like to have other people still in the game, you gotta keep the tribe close.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I was actually thinking about that. I was thinking about that getting ready for this. I'm like, man, I think the first time I talked to Wes was back in 2012. And it's just been cool to be part of, you know, tracking your journey from Fiction 20 down to all your collaborations that you've gotten to do over the years. And you've gotten to do some really cool ones. But just as a catch up point, I believe the last time we spoke was when you had dropped a single with Blake G. So last like two and a half years, it was like episode 80 or something. So, yeah, I guess just as a place to start, man, I know, last year you had taken a break because the last single was Circling the Drain with Jupiter Surge, which came out right at the end of 2022. So what's this past year been like for you, man, as far as music and life and just as a place to start?
Yeah. So, you are right. The up until this year, my last single was, Circling the Drain. So I was at a point around that time coming out where I was just, I just felt like I plateaued a little bit, and I was starting to get more and more frustrated with just trying to get collaborators and trying to get turnaround times from people. And, you know, so I just thought it was a good time. And I, at that point, it was like 5 years, almost 5 years into doing the solo stuff. So I was like, all right, let's take a 5 year like review and see like, you know, what's working, what's not, and you know, what can I improve on? So, the conclusion I came to was I needed to have a better plan other than just doing single after single. I was just kind of like always chasing the rabbit with those collab singles, just like not thinking like longer term, just like what's the song I'm working on now, who can I get on it, and then when that's done, work on the next one. So I just took a year off in 23 to just record and develop like a lot of songs, and then that allowed me to have some more less pressure of like finding the right people for the right songs and letting them take their time to get me their parts and all that. So now I'm at a point where, you know, I'm sitting on half a dozen, maybe more songs that I can now like more strategically release like monthly instead of like three songs. You know, typically I was doing three songs a year, and it's not even the end of March now, and I've already released three songs this year. So like just increasing the release schedule, and just like having like I know what songs are coming out every single month through like October this year, at least. So that is going to be, you know, more releases in 24 than I would have done, in 3 years under my previous model. So, it's working so far for sure. As far as I can tell in terms of, like the streaming numbers, the followers are going up, and like in tandem with all the releases, I'm also investing a lot more in marketing and in advertising, and just always having like some form of campaigns rolling on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok 24/7, 365. So it sounds like a lot, but it's really not. Like they're just humming at like $5 a day. You know, they're optimizing for getting more people on my pages, and like you just let it snowball, and you know, plug and play when I have a new song or a new piece of content out, and then target those people. And like the cool thing with like the collabs is that like the streaming platforms know who, sorry, I'm going off on a super marketing tangent, but like I'm excited to talk about this. So like the targeting is like so easy to dial in when you have collabs, because you just like, if I have a bigger artist on my song, I just target the people who like them, and it's, you know, as simple as that. And then also, for the hip hop stuff, I'm not as like much of a hip hop head as I am like the rock stuff, so I was still trying to like figure out who like that audience is. So the streaming platforms, especially Amazon Music, will tell you what other artist stations your songs were played on. So like the songs I did with the Kaleidoscope Kid this year, I was trying to figure out like who, like what audience I should target. And I was going towards a more like 90s old school hip hop audience, but Amazon Music was telling me that my song was getting played on more modern hip hop artist stations like Aesop Rock and Atmosphere, Chris Webby, and like all these artists I wouldn't have thought of. So like, boom. So now I'm like advertising the video on those artists' YouTube channels, and I'm getting like followers, subscribers from that, and like the view rates are like insanely high. So it's you know, it's cool to just like sort of build that whole ecosystem up, and now I have I'm at a point where I can just like do it all year long instead of like one song or three songs a year. I get a pop a couple times a year, but then like it fizzles out when that song's like popularity kind of wanes out. So like as soon as one song this year starts dimming out, I'll have the next one ready to go.
That's awesome, dude. And yeah, you don't got to apologize for geeking out on marketing at all, man, because I actually think that that's really insightful. And it's stuff that I think about with this podcast, and maybe it's me being too hard on myself, where I always feel like, man, I need to do more. But one of my goals for this year, and it started last year, was with upgrading, you know. So like I was using a really old computer from 2010, a college graduation gift, all the way up until last year. And it had like Windows 7 on it, man. It was going super slow. There's a couple of times I had to at the last minute scrap it on my computer and do it on my phone. And then I was like, man, I don't want to come off as unprofessional because it would take so long for Zoom to load. So I was like, okay, new computer, step one. And then step two was starting to do video editing and video clips, because I feel like people engage with those more than they did sort of the audiographic images that I was putting up. And then getting on TikTok and trying to expand the audience there. Hopefully they don't shut it down. I know there's a lot of talks about shutting down the old TikTok, but if they do, they do. I think that's really cool because, and I know that's stuff you do work-wise too, right? Is marketing.
Exactly right. Yep.
So that stuff is, I think it can be as fun, and correct me if I'm wrong, it can be as fun or as tedious as you make it. And it sounds like for you, it's become more fun now because you took that year to regroup and now you're in a position where you're like, okay, instead of hammering three songs, I know the riffs that I have in the bag. I know the music that I have in the bag. I can pick and choose artists based on what I feel like the fit is for those. And then be able to get that insight from these services of, hey, here's, and I wish I need to do a little bit more digging for my podcast. Like, okay, people who listen to your show also listen to this, because that's how you help. If you can kind of hack that algorithm and figure out who your people really are, that's a big deal, man. So I think it's really cool to talk about the marketing aspect because you kind of have to be now as a musician today.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. And it's also good to have that extra consistency because not every song or episode is going to be a hit. Like you're going to have duds. That's a certainty. Well, maybe not a certainty, but like, it's not always going to be like killer streams and all that. So like if you don't have a smash release, you don't have to beat yourself up as much because you know you just got another one coming and you get another shot at doing it right. So like, you know, just as an example, I released my third single this year on Friday and I totally fucked it up. This was the first song I had multiple primary artists on it. So like, it was another collab release. It was another hip hop song, but the two rappers I got, Kosha Dills and MC Bravado, were primary artists on it. We talked about it and we just wanted to like, you know, band together and like get the song out to all of our followers. And then the producer wanted to be a primary artist as well, who has a really good following on Spotify. So I was like, fuck yeah, I got four primary artists. It's going to juice up the release radar playlist and all the algorithms. But what I didn't realize is that Spotify has its own rule that's unique from the other streaming platforms. And that rule is if you have more than three primary artists, Spotify will list it as a various artist release. So I have no idea who streamed the songs. It's not getting counted on any artist's analytics. Like, I just have no clue. And it's it doesn't go on the release radar playlist. It is like such a gut punch. Like it's like almost like devastating because I put so much time and money and effort into these songs, but the hope is I can get it fixed. So I resubmitted it through my music distributor and I removed the producer as a primary artist, so that should satisfy Spotify's requirement about having too many primaries. So I hope it can get resolved by next week, because on Spotify, your songs get 2 weeks on release radar playlist. And that's where I get the most of my streams, is on release radar. So it's not totally lost yet. I just hope it can get resolved in time to still get a crack at the algorithm. So we'll see. But yeah, man.
this is good stuff, man, because that's behind the curtain stuff. And I actually wondered because, you know, obviously we keep up like with each other's pages and stuff, and I see the stuff that you're doing, and I saw, oh, Drive Down a Different Road is out, but yeah, if you type in your name on Spotify and search for it, it still shows Don't Forget Your Parachute is the most recent single, and then when you type in the name of the song, you can find it. So I wondered, I was like, that's weird, I've not seen that before, but that's insightful. But hey, that's part of the learning curve, right? So hopefully you get it resolved, because it is a dope song.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. It's still on my Spotify artist profile. You just have to scroll down to the bottom to the appears on section. So I'm just kind of like pausing the promo of that song until it gets resolved and I can direct people to my page and they can find the song easily. Cause I'm stoked on the song. I love how it turned out, and you know, I'm still going to give it a good effort, but I just got to wait for that to get resolved. So I'm just kind of pumping the brakes until I can like get it corrected. And then I'll start really pushing it.
Yeah, and speaking of pumping the brakes, I kind of want to revisit, man. 2023 for you, you know, sure. Like we were about at the beginning, as far as I think we live in this culture, man, of grind, 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 right? And it's so easy to compare yourself to, whether you're a podcaster like me or you're a musician like yourself. It's easy to get caught up in, oh, this person's doing this or this person's doing this. Maybe I should be doing this. Maybe I should be doing that. And we all have our strengths and weaknesses, and there's only so much time in the day, right? Like, I have my job in healthcare that I need to pay attention to and focus on. That's how I eat. That's how I pay my bills. And then this is my passion project outside of that. And then there's days where I'm like, oh, I probably could have done more. But in saying all that, I do think it's important to recognize when you need to take a break or when you're feeling burnout, because as soon as the thing that you love starts to feel like a chore, that's where I think you got to kind of reevaluate, right? Whether you're an athlete and it's playing a sport that you've done for a while and you feel like, man, I feel like I'm going through the motions now, or a creator, or somebody in media. So for you, it sounds like taking that step back has actually fueled creativity. Can you go into a little bit more depth into that process? Because correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like when you were coming up with these riffs and stuff, did you pick people like the Kaleidoscope Kid, you know, and Kosha Dills and MC Bravado? Was it based on just the music that you had, as you mentioned, you know, somebody coming from more of an alternative and rock background? Like, what was that step back like? Because I feel like sometimes in life, especially in the United States, we praise grinding and we praise go, 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 but we don't talk about the burnout that comes from that. And sometimes it's good to take a step back and just take some deep breaths and regroup.
Yeah, you know, like it's tough to say if I really pumped the brakes, because I was probably working harder last year than I have in like any year prior, but I just wasn't like releasing music. So it was like frustrating, because I knew I had all these cool things happening and these songs were coming together, and I was like getting collaborators like that I really wanted on the songs, and like everything was really starting to come together. But it's just like I had nothing to show for it yet, because I wasn't ready to release it, because I don't want to prematurely release something until I knew I had like a 12 to 15 month plan for once I do start doing these releases. So, you know, I really didn't slow down at all. It was just doing it in a different way. I was just doing the more behind the scenes studio, a lot of studio time, a lot of back and forth with artists and stuff like that. Unfortunately, I actually had pretty good luck getting like most of the first artist I had in mind for these songs. I get like that rarely ever happens, but I do think that that's partly because I was able to take my time with developing the songs and really just like let them breathe and develop. And then like those artists who I had in mind kind of like happened organically. I was like, oh yeah, like that person is like perfect for this song. So yeah, it was a lot of that and just strategizing and just, you know, kind of like letting these things happen a little more organically and not trying to rush it. So then I could like just give myself time to not feel the pressure of trying to stay on a release schedule. That was like the biggest benefit, is just not just telling myself, okay, don't worry about releasing anything. Just get the songs developed, come up with a plan, and then you'll execute it when it's ready.
As far as switching up the strategy, I mean, you mentioned going from doing a few songs a year, and now you've already put out three songs by the time we're done with Q1 in 2024. Was that a combination of looking at the musical landscape and how things were going as far as people kind of going the singles route, in conjunction with maybe seeing some of the results from some of the marketing you had done? What ultimately was the shift in going, okay, instead of doing three a year, I'm going to release it this way?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, a lot of it was just studying what other artists are doing and studying what works for them. That was a big part of it. And a lot, you know, I just kind of came to the realization that like, if I'm not happy with my goals or what I've achieved or I want to achieve more, then like the simple answer is just try harder, just do more, like do it better. So I was just like, all right, I did okay with doing the three song a year route, and you know, that's cool. But if I want more, then I should probably release more music. I should probably try more and like just do it more. So, that was a lot of it too.
Well, and I think it's good for people to know this stuff, man, because the average listener, I don't think, understands how much work goes into actually, especially as independent artists, the work and the time and the money that goes into making the song sound good. But then there's the whole other, it's kind of like source code to me. There's the internet that we all see, and then, yeah, you know, there's the coding that goes into the web page that you're actually looking at. And I feel like that's what marketing is to music. The listener gets the music, they get the music video, they get the reels on Instagram or TikTok. But what they don't understand, unless they work in it themselves, is all the work the artist goes into to, you know, pay to produce, mix, master the song, how many times they've played it before they've even gotten into the studio. In your case, as a collaborator, getting the work back from that artist, and then the marketing piece that goes along with it. So this stuff fascinates me, because it's just the musical landscape, I think, even in our lifetime, man, has changed so much. Like, when you go, we were younger and we had Walkmans, and if we had older siblings, they had the Walkman, which was the cassette deck. So it's like, in our lifetime, we've gone from tape players to CD players to iPods to headphones costing more than iPods to iPods, and all that stuff becoming obsolete because now everybody just listens to everything on their phone. And then going from the MP3 digital world to an even different digital world with streaming. I mean, there's been so much, I feel like, in the music industry that's happened just in the past 25, 30 years. And that marketing piece of it and the algorithm piece of it, like, it's such an important part of it. Do you feel like, as somebody who has worked in marketing, it gives you a bit of an advantage as far as trying to be able, maybe hacks, not the right word, but get insight into these algorithms? Because I can imagine for somebody who just focuses so much on the music and maybe doesn't have that experience, that can be kind of an uphill process where they probably have to pay an outside company to do it for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, like, with having the marketing background definitely helps to think of, like, the whole thing more holistically. And, you know, that's just how my brain works. Like I have nothing but respect for, like, true artists that, like, are just so immersed in the song itself that, like, to even say the word algorithm to them would make them vomit. Like I respect that. I, you know, it's not how I work, but I do respect that. And I think there's value in that and in having that sort of approach to the creative process. But, you know, that's just how I am. You know, these are the tools I have and the skills I have to use it. So it's like, you know, as a fan, I'm not really super stoked on the single stuff, like, just dropping singles. Like, I like albums. I like just sitting down and listening it start to finish. So, like, I get it. Like, as a listener, like, it's not as an ideal of an experience, but I'm an independent artist trying to make a name for myself and build an audience. So I'm not here to break the rules. I'm not here to be a martyr. I'm here to understand what is working and how to play the system to my benefit. Like, you know, that's kind of just how I think of it. You know, like, I'm trying to win, you know, like, I'm not trying to be some sort of, like, noble, you know, purist. Like, I'm trying to get an audience here and trying to, like, make something for myself.
Well, and like you said, man, I mean, that's the current landscape of the environment that we're in. And it really is a fascinating time, because this is stuff, again, that even 10 years ago wasn't really, at least with my knowledge of music, this kind of stuff has really been recent. I feel like just within the last decade or so, with the continued push, and really, I think, the norm now of streaming, not just with music, but with media in general, and people cable cutting. And now you have streaming apps, you have all the competing Disney, Paramount, Hulu, all these different services. And it's the same way with music, with Apple Music, with Spotify, Tidal. So it is a game, man. And I don't think you shouldn't have any shame about using the tools to your advantage as far as somebody that has a marketing background, because, you know, like anything, man, there's a game that you got to play. And the name of the game of the last decade is algorithm. But at the end of the day, right, the proof is in the pudding with the songs. And I'm not just saying this to butter your bread, because we go way back, and you've been kind to always come back on the show over the years, but the songs are dope, man. Like, I really enjoy the releases that you put out this year, the two with the Kaleidoscope Kid and the most recent one with Kosha Dills and MC Bravado and Grizzly Beats. Again, I think over the last few years, even though I come from more of a heavy music background, I've gotten way more into hip hop in the last decade of my life. And I, what I really like about the Kaleidoscope Kid releases, and it's even in the song title and Drive Down a Different Road, is the uplifting nature of these. Cause, I was just talking with another artist about this. Sometimes it's hard to write an uplifting song and have it not come off as cheesy, but the authenticity in these, I think, is really dope. Like that hook in Stuck in a Loop, you know, Death of an Era, The Birth of New Karma. It's, I think so many people can relate to that. And I feel like that was really awesome for that to be the first one to come out. And I feel like the proof is in the pudding on Spotify, which I have, there's 25,000 streams alone just on that. So, was that something that was in the back of your mind going into this year, man, was to put out songs that kind of had a positive tilt to them? Because even though Don't Forget Your Parachute has got more of a lo-fi, vibe to it, it's still an uplifting song as well.
Yeah. So that's cool that you called out the hook and I was stuck in a loop, because, I have very little involvement in the lyrics of these songs. And the, you know, just as a, an aside, like shout out to the Kaleidoscope Kid, like, you know, what a talent, you know, and you know, that he was one of the first artists I locked in for two songs, about this time last year. And that kind of like re-energized me, you know, when I got those, I was like, all right, I can get these collabs. Like, you know, this is, you know, I needed that little win in just getting like a really dope artist on a new song. And, yeah, the lyrics, the death of it, or start of it, dawn of a new era, whatever, you know them better than I do, but that just resonated with me just as a fan of his, and just like, you know, starting the new year with a new song and like kind of a new approach to the music and, you know, all that. And yeah, I just was like, this is just so perfect. But I resonate more with like the uplifting and positive messages, but I do have some songs coming out this year that are not that, that are pretty dark. especially the song I have with Steven Richards from Taproot. That one's a dark one for sure. And then I have another one with Benji Webb from Skindred that's coming out this spring. That one is I don't know if I'd say it's dark, but it's angry for sure. It's as close of a political song as I'll do. It's pretty interesting. There's some not so subtle opinions in that one.
Yeah, I can get down with that stuff too, man. Because I know we both have a love for heavy music, and also, you know, new metal era, you know, which Skindred,
yeah,
was
hell yeah.
And shout out to Taproot too, because we talked before the jump, and that's a good segue. And thanks again so much for doing this, man. It's always great catching up with you, and again picking your brain about the marketing stuff, because I think it's a fascinating element to music and releasing music today, not just for independent artists, but for, you know, artists that are on these big labels and stuff. I mean, the difference is they have a team that does all that for them. That's so much respect for independent artists like you and other artists that I have on the show, is that grind of doing it on your own, and being able to crack the code. Cause it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe sticking it to the man's the wrong word, right? But at the same time, it's cool because, you know, when you don't have like a big label that to do all these things for you, you really become like a Renaissance man. And I look at you as that, you know, you're somebody that loves music, but you also have these other skills that are helping you get it out to another audience. But no, I dig the darker vibes, man. And I know you were recently back in our neck of the woods in Northwest Ohio. And Taproot, I believe, is it Ann Arbor? I know. Yep. They're based in Michigan. Yeah. So how did that collaboration come about? And with Skindred, man, because those dudes have been around forever too, and I love them as well.
Yeah, man. So those happened through the management team. I got Skindred's vocals like about April. Or like that started happening about a year ago, like this time a year ago. And yeah, that was, I just found their management's email. I had a really, really solid demo that I thought would be really good for him to sing on. He was the only singer I reached out to, and he was my number one pick, and like it worked out. So I was like, that was like after I got the Kaleidoscope features and then like locked in Benji Wed from Skindred. So I was like, at that point, I was like, let's fucking go. Like, this is happening. Like, fuck yeah, I'm getting momentum now. And yeah, it was such a trip working with Benji, and like we swapped WhatsApp numbers, and like he was super communicative throughout the process, and you know, was asking me what I thought about things and wanted my feedback and stuff like that. So it was just, you know, like all-time pro, like just super nice guy, and like just loves making music. I could just tell that. So that was really cool. And then same thing with Taproot. You know, that what a comeback they're having, you know, like I'm so stoked that Taproot is back. And Steve is a singer, one of my all-time favorite vocalists. You know, I grew up, you know, growing up in Northwest Ohio, like you know, I remember seeing Taproot shows at the Main Event and headliners, you know, in the early 2000s, over 20 years ago, when they were starting to blow up and all that. And those shows were just so fucking wild, man. Just chaos, and so many good memories with that. And you know, I've just always liked their music throughout their whole career. And yeah, such a bummer to see them kind of like fade out about a decade ago, and then for them to come back with the album that they did that I think is like holds up as one of their top ones. And then now they're getting on all the you know, Sick New World Festival, like all these huge metal festivals, and they're doing some shows again. And like I got to see them in New York City last November after it was a, you know, I was doing the song with Steven, and then got to hang out with him and the band like backstage at the Gramercy Theater, which is a cool ass theater in New York. So that was super cool. And then yeah, Steve and I, like, you know, we're like buddies now. Like we text all the time, and he's trying to get more of the features done and stuff like that to, like, you know, now that, you know, Taproot's on the map, and he, you know, they're not touring full time because they all have like jobs and stuff, so they're doing like Weekend Warrior stuff. So in between that, I think he's trying to get more of the features rolling. So like I was the first one ever to have him do a full song feature, which is pretty cool. And he said it was, this is like me, Teenage West, like being so happy. He said the first song that we have is one of his favorites that he's ever written. And he said that like his wife loved it, and I guess she doesn't like Taproot. So I was just like, fuck yeah, man. But yeah, so that went so well, and like he was the right man for the job, and we got a good rapport with texting and all that stuff. So like when I was coming home, I was just like, hey, you want to do another, like, you know, I was just like, you just want to do another song? Cause like, I really think the one with him is going to be like, if I had to pick like which songs I have coming up that would be the one to blow up, it would be that one for sure. Like I'm going to try to get on SiriusXM Octane. Like that song, like, is going to, like, Taproot fans and like any of Deftones fans are going to fucking love that song. So I want to have a follow up to that. So I was just like, hey man, like I really want to put, like, I think the song we have is going to blow. So I want to follow up just in case it does, so we can drop another one. So we worked on a follow up song at the studio in Michigan where Taproot recorded Plead the Fifth, Our Long Road Home, The Episodes, and the last one. So like some of my favorite fucking records were recorded in this studio. I was like, you know, like it was just a really trip. It was like a trip being up there, and like, you know, he's such a humble, down to earth, you know, Midwest guy. Like, you know, I just fucking love that.
Dude, that's sick. And that's why I love doing this podcast, man, because the older that we get, and I know we're only a couple of years apart. I just turned 36 on March 4th. And, you start to realize how short life is. And I think COVID too helped a lot of people set the reset button. And that's why I love doing these podcasts, because it inspires me to keep doing the stuff that I'm doing, to see people like yourself doing what you're doing. Because growing up listening to that music, right? And we're in the middle of a huge resurgence for that.
Yeah.
And new metal. There was a time where people crapped on new metal. I remember Limp getting a lot of hate, and they just played. Dude. Were they just in Chile or something?
Yeah, Argentina for Lollapalooza, dude. Fuck that! Those videos were wild.
Yeah, like to see to see all this stuff from when we were teenagers, and to see younger generations getting into it now. Even the styles, man, like, you know, there's kids running around in Jenko jeans and stuff.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
It's just like, it's so cool to see it making a comeback. But for you, when you go back to those early days playing guitar, and then, like you said, you're sitting in a studio with Taproot, you know, where they've recorded all that stuff. That's sick, man. That's awesome. So kudos, man. That's really.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. Yeah. You know, luckily the timing was on our side, and like he only lives like 50 minutes from my dad's house. So I was just like, borrowed my dad's car and packed my guitar and like going to the studio with Steve. So it's like, you know, it worked out really well. And yeah, just having him close by to where my parents grew up. So like, you know, I would love to keep doing more songs, you know, with him as long as he's down and available. Like, you know, why not?
Yeah. And just, and thanks again so much for doing this, man. But just kind of on that note of chasing dreams, and I know we've talked about this before in our previous conversations, but what has been central to your journey, man, of doing this stuff? Because I know there's high points and there's low points. What's been the thing that you've always come back to, or do you feel like has been central to this path for you musically and not quitting on it? Because there's a lot of people who stop, and it's kind of a bummer. You know what I mean? And I think it's really cool that, you know, guys like yourself, or, you know, even Taproot, like you mentioned, taking a break for a while, but I feel like if you really love something, you always come back to it. But what's been central to this journey for you? Because you definitely took a different path, and no disrespect to people where we're from, right? But like, when, like, I'm in Nashville, you're in Baltimore, and I'm sure you meet people from Baltimore who aren't from there. In Nashville, we call them unicorns. If you meet somebody who grew up here, and where we're from in Northwest Ohio, it's a lot of people who they were born there. They raised their family there. Then their kids raised their family there. And again, nothing wrong with that. I have friends like that. And I think, you know, that blue collar work ethic that we grew up with is part of what we're doing, but you definitely took an unconventional path and have been able to do all of these cool things that I think some people could do, but maybe they just didn't have the courage, or they, you know, with their environment, the people around them, sometimes you get people in your ear and they want you to take the quote unquote practical route. And that doesn't always pay off in the end. And I think for you, your story is a great example of somebody who's chased his dreams, you know, busted your butt, and you're getting to do all these cool things and continuing to do more cool things musically. What's been central to sticking with that, man?
Yeah. So I think, you know, there's a school of thought for artists that you have to go all in on music to, you know, like you can't have a backup plan. You have to just find a way to just get it done at all costs. And I think that is a very valid school of thought. I think that works for a lot of people, but what has worked for me in terms of like longevity, and this isn't a sexy answer at all, but it's just having a job and it's just being able to set myself up to finance this stuff, because it's not cheap. You know, these guys, you know, if I want to pull top tier talent, you know, they don't do this shit for free and studio time and marketing and, you know, and so being able to just have a balance, a work-life balance, where I can still have a day job, which I enjoy doing, which is very fortunate. And then being able to just have work it out so I can just still do it and do it at the level that I want to, where it puts me in a position to keep growing my audience. that also, when you remove the pressure of not worrying about making money from music, you get to do it for the right reasons, which is the love of the music and the passion. So you don't put, there's not as much pressure on it. The only pressure on me is to just like write what I think are the most killer songs ever and get like the best artists I can find. So that's my motivation, not the money. So that has been central to being able to stay in the game, so to speak, because I've lived the other side of it. When I first came to Maryland, that was me going all in on music and finding a way, you know, just, you know, when I moved here to join Fiction 20 Down, we were on tour within 2 weeks of me moving here. And then we did that for a few years, and I was delivering pizzas in between tours, picking up odd jobs on Craigslist. And we were, you know, in between tours, we're doing bar gigs every weekend to a bunch of drunks that wanted to hear all the shitty covers. And, you know, that's such a grind. And like, you know, it just burns you out. And, there, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but like, I'm not in a band. I'm not trying to tour the country 9 months a year. I'm trying to build an audience, on Spotify and, you know, wherever else. And if they, those songs blow up enough and I start getting a demand to play shows, and yeah, I would love to put a live band together and start playing out again. But, you know, I'm 37, you know, I'm not trying to live in, you know, I'm not trying to start from scratch and build a tour, you know, build up markets across the country and live in a shitty Chevy 3500 van and stuff like that. Like, I just, that does not sound super exciting to me. But, yeah, so just being able to set yourself up just holistically to, have a balance and be able to have the discipline to, pursue the passion. Because yeah, like once, when you do start making decent money and have a good job, it's really easy to be like, yeah, this is comfortable, I'm done. But like, you know, nights and weekends I'm working on music, like, in pretty much in my free time, it's all I think about. So, I still have that drive. I still have the passion, to, you know, want to keep getting it out there. But so yeah, and then just keeping the passion alive and still enjoying the music. You know, I think when you're not a full-time musician in terms of like paying your bills and you're on that grind, like, I've seen it firsthand in friends of mine, and I just have a suspicion that like, you almost start to resent music. Like I almost think you don't listen to music as a fan. You listen to it to study and critique people, which is like, all, that's the worst way to do it. Like, you know, so I think like, just being able to still just enjoy music. Like, I, you know, every Friday I'm on Release Radar to see who's releasing what, and like, you know, discovering new music and still like being excited about new music that's coming out. And that inspires me to keep writing new music as well.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, and I appreciate that, man, because it's great insight. Because like you said, you're somebody who's been able to find that balance between having a day job and doing the creative stuff. And I relate to that. You know, I have my job in healthcare. I've worked in healthcare almost half my life now. I'm on a great team. I feel incredibly blessed to have the opportunity that I've had since I've come to Nashville to be able to do that and be able to work with really good people along the way and have people open doors for me. You know, and outside of that, still be able to carve out the time to do what I love to do with this podcast. Cause if I couldn't do this, I would go crazy. And I think maybe that's the difference between, and again, I'm not saying that like in a hoity toity way with guys like you and me who have creative interests, but I think that's what sets, you know, people apart, you know, in terms of creators, whether it's music or drawing or painting or podcasting. Like, I have a need to do this. I love communicating with people on a smaller group level and learning about their stories. And, you know, even when I was younger, before I even did podcasting, I asked a lot of questions as a kid, probably drove my parents nuts at times. And like, but I was always inquisitive. I'm just always curious about how people live and where they come from, what they do and what they're interested in. And so, you know, a life where I couldn't do this, and I'm sure you probably relate with music. If somebody said, hey, you can make $1 million a year, but you can't play guitar, you'd be like, well, like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so yeah. I feel that you've been able to strike that balance. And before we wrap it up, man, and thanks again so much for doing this. It's always cool talking with you. And I feel like I could talk with you for 4 hours, but I'm not going to do that because it looks like the sun's reflecting back on your face there in Baltimore. So it looks like it's probably a nice day there. And I don't want to keep you cooped up. But yeah, just in terms of geeking out musically, you mentioned the releases that you have coming up, but are there any free plugs you want to give in terms of stuff that you've been digging recently or stuff that's been inspiring you musically that you want to throw out there? Cause I know you post, I've seen some of the stuff that you've posted on Instagram and some of the stuff that you pick up or whatever. And I always love, you know, getting put onto new music. So anything out there that's been an earworm for you recently?
Yeah. Let me pull up my Spotify real quick. I think it's probably cause I've been listening to a lot of Skindred. Who I'll plug their new album. It's freaking amazing. But I've been getting onto a lot of European ska punk and like hip hop music, like UK music is just like blowing my mind. Like I'm discovering all these, like, you know, that's the power of the Spotify Discover Weekly. They're just feeding me like these amazing bands. So yeah, I'm pulling up Random Hand. They're like ska punk and metal, but with really catchy hooks. Popes of Chili Town, and another band called Lazy Habits. So like they're all like hybrid bands like that play a blend of ska, reggae, punk, metal, hip hop, like just all the shit I love. But it's just like, you know, it's from across the pond. So it's got its own little like twist on it that I'm not used to. So it's like, oh, that's different. You know, like that's got my ears perked. And another like domestic band, 4 Years Strong. Like, I don't know how the fuck I've slept on them, but so the dude and one of the guys in 4 Years Strong produces Sharia Moore, who you may know because Trey Miller, the singer of Sharia Moore, sang on my song Red Cup Dubs. If you know, there's a little 6 degrees of separation there, but I don't know how I slept on 4 Years Strong, but I've been listening to one of their albums, more recent albums. That's been blowing my mind too. And one last like genre is just like Mexican ska. It's like is so fucking good. There's a band called Inspector that I've been jamming on the regular. Like it is a party. Like so I'm just like, you know, the international stuff is like just opening up my it's just blowing my mind. Like it's this core genres that like we all listen to, but just the way it's presented is just, you know, a lot more different than the American bands. And I don't know, I'm not saying one is better than the other. I would say the Mexican and I would say the international stuff is better, but it's just newer to me and it's fresh. So, yeah, just opening up all, you know, all the, you know, just all these bands and like the European market. So like one hope I do have with like the Skindred collab is see if I can start building like a European presence, because I have a remix for that song already in the bag from a DJ called Dub Effects, who does more dance hall and reggae stuff. So I'm going to follow up the Skindred release with like a dance hall remix of that song. So both artists are European and stuff like that. So I'm going to see if I can't get myself some of those UK fans.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, there's so much good music out there. And I think that's going to be a cool thing. It's just kind of a place to wrap up. And thanks again so much for your time and for sharing that, because I'm always looking for new music. And that's one thing I do love about the current climate is and the algorithm, the mysterious algorithm, is that it does feed you so much cool stuff based on what you listen to. It's kind of like when I first got Pandora back in the day, when my sister Kaylin told me about that. And she said, it's your own personal radio. It'll play stuff based on what you like. And now I feel like Spotify, Apple Music, all these services, that's what's really cool, is they put you on to stuff you didn't even know about. But that's also one thing I hope we don't see is bands or artists making stuff just for an algorithm or just to catch a wave, like making the stuff that you love to make and finding ways to get it out to people. You know, versus going, oh, well, this is popping right now, so I'll try to do my version of that. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's going to be interesting, especially with AI, to see, because right, we're seeing like there's stuff where it's Biggie Smalls and it sounds like a Biggie Smalls track, but it is wild, you know, the climate we're in. But in saying all of that, I think it's cool, man, that you have that thirst for new music and again, the marketing background to try to get it out there. And yeah, pulling in the European audiences, because not that the United States isn't passionate, but even when I look at, just as a fan of metal, and I look at, you know, Vach and Open Air and Download and all these huge festivals over there, they just love it. Alter Bridge is one of my favorite bands, and their audience has gotten bigger in the States. But man, like when they've played the Royal Albert Hall, they've played O2 Arena, Wembley, you know what I mean? Like when they're in Europe, I just feel like their thirst for, and their passion for rock and metal and music in general is really cool. And then, like you said, outside of that, there's a huge dance and ska and
yeah,
you know what I mean? So long way of me saying, man, I think it's cool that you're making the music you love to make, that you're expanding your horizons and you've got cool stuff coming out. So Just as a wrap up, man, anything you want to leave the people with as far as people out there that are trying to chase their dreams or persevere as you have done?
Yeah, I guess like just find a way to stay in the game. Just if that means a work situation or whatever it may be, just finding a way to stay in the game so you can still, you know, have that passion and feed it.
Sweet. Well, Wes, thank you again so much, man, for taking the time to do this. Like I said, it's always great catching up with you, dude. And anytime somebody from where we're from is chasing their dreams, I really admire it, man, because it inspires me to push through the fears and anxieties that I have about putting myself out there more and doing this kind of stuff, man. So we really appreciate all the love and support over the years, man. And I'm really excited for you. I'm really digging the new music. Once again, for the people, if they're not aware of your music, let them know where they can find you, man.
Yeah, so wesandersonmusic.com is like my official website. You can search Wes Anderson and all the streaming platforms. Beware that there is a movie director named Wes Anderson, so you may have to do some scrolling, but if you can find a name, search for a song title as well, that'll help you out. So yeah, Wes Anderson Music.
And on Instagram, it's at Songs by Wes, right?
Yeah, songs by Wes.
Sweet. Well, Wes, thanks again so much, dude. It's always great catching up with you. Like you said, whether it's annually, I really appreciate you always doing the show over the years, man. As I've trying to grow this, and I might have to pick your brain on the marketing a little bit more. To try to get my name out there to more people, man. Not because I'm trying to become the next whatever. I just love doing this stuff, and I love putting people onto music from independent creators like yourself, because there's so much good music out there, and I want to do my part to share these stories and inspire people to chase their dreams too, man. So thank you again for all the love and support over the years, and I can't wait to hear more from you in 2024, man.
Thank you so much. I just noticed your hat. Does that say Glass City?
Yes, sir, it does. Shout out to Juke Mode back in our hometown, man. Yeah, I had to show him some love, give him some shine on this.
Yeah. So for the listeners that aren't familiar, Toledo is known as a glass city. We got glass, baby.
That's right, man. That's right. All right, dude. Have a great rest of the day. Thanks again for carving out some time for me, especially starting a new gig and everything, dude. I really appreciate it. Always good to hear from you.
No problem, brother. Thank you, man. Talk to you later.
All righty, dighty, there you have it. That was my conversation with guitarist Wes Anderson out of Baltimore, Maryland, by way of Northwest Ohio, the 419. Make sure you go follow him on Instagram at Songs by Wes, and his website is wesandersonmusic.com. The links to all of his stuff will be in the podcast description for this episode. Excuse me. So if you liked what you heard, it never fails when I'm recording these, man. I get a little hitch in my throat. But if you liked what you heard, man, make sure you go check out the links. Go support Wes's music. Again, I'm a big fan of what he's doing, and he's always so gracious with his time with me. I'm grateful for our relationship in terms of both of our journeys, man. Like back in the day when I was writing for Toledo Free Press, and that's when I did the story on him joining Fiction 20 Down. And he's been kind enough to always come back as I've been on my journey with March 4th, and I've gotten to kind of cover his journey on this podcast as he's done all of these awesome collaborations over the years with numerous artists, like I mentioned at the jump, including Peanut from 311. And not that Peanut is more important than any of the other collaborators that he's played music with over the years, man, but just the fact that I know how much Wes loves 311, and the fact that you get to collab with, one of your musical idols as a kid, I mean, that's just dope, man. And again, he deserves his flowers, and it's really cool to catch up with them because, like I said, we've been able to kind of track each other's paths over the years, and he's a good dude. And I always try to put on from people or for people who are from where I'm from, rather. And right out the gate in 2024, man, when I was stuck in a loop, came out with the Kaleidoscope Kid. I was like, dude, that is so my vibe. I relate to that so much. And then following that up with Don't Forget Your Parachute, again with Kaleidoscope Kid, and now Drive Down a Different Road with Kosha Dills and MC Bravado. Like, all of them are great vibes if you love chill hip hop, man. And they're all doing really well. Like by the time you guys hear this, just on Spotify alone, because that's what I have as far as the music streaming service that I use and pay for. And shout out to all the fine people at Spotify, by the way. If this ever gets to like Ali Hagendorf, Ali, you know, I'm out here, man. I'm just saying, you know, I know you're probably not going to give me that Joe Rogan check. But you know, check out your boy over here at March 4th. I digress, but I was stuck in loop, man. It's got almost 30,000 streams. It might even be above that by the time this hits your guys' ears when it comes out this Tuesday that you're hearing it. Don't forget your parachutes approaching 17,000. Drive Down a Different Road is approaching 17,000, and that's just on Spotify, man. So, you know, as you guys heard in that conversation, Wes talking about the marketing end of things and his experience with that. Shifting his strategy going into 2024 to see those results coming back and to see people digging the music. It's awesome. Like I said, he's a talented guitarist in his own right. He's been playing since he was a kid and we're both in our mid 30s now. So, you know, he's been on that thing for, you know, over 20 years, almost 30 years now. And again, his journey with Fiction 20 Down, which led him to Baltimore and now his, you know, solo journey that he's been on as a guitarist and, you know, collaborating with other musicians. It's just really, really cool, man. I really admire what he's doing. But yeah, I'm just a big fan of what Wes is doing. And he's a really good dude, man. Beyond chasing his dreams, he's a down-to-earth guy. He's always made time for me. It's always fun to catch up with him. And you know, hopefully one of these days, you know, he'll be able to get to Nashville. And if he doesn't, I just need to get up to Baltimore, man, because I know it's a dope city. But thanks again, Wes, for taking the time to always come on the show, dude. You know, I got a lot of love and respect for you. And I can't wait to hear the stuff that's in the works that we were discussing that's coming up for 2024 that the listeners just heard about as well. Like I'm really excited for it, man. So, you know, everybody, once again, go follow him on Instagram at Songs by Wes. His website is WesAndersonMusic.com. That's going to be a wrap on this week's episode, y'all. I just want to say thank you to everyone who is on this journey with me. Everybody who takes the time to like and subscribe or tell your friends about the show, interact with the content on social media. You know, when I post reels or, you know, when I post stories, if you like it and share it, all those things go a long way in helping the episodes get out to more people. And ultimately, that's what I want, man. You know, I feature a lot of musicians on here that are up and coming, that are maybe, you know, more underground, or, you know, they've got some singles out, and I feel very grateful to be in that position where I can hopefully put people on to artists that maybe they weren't aware of before, that weren't on their radar before. And you know, anytime I get a chance to talk to really cool people with this show, like I'm so excited because I'm excited for what they're doing and I love what they're doing genuinely. And I want to do whatever I can to make sure I get it out to as many people as possible. And when you guys like and subscribe and share, you leave a rating and a review on either Apple or Spotify, man, like all those things go a long way. So I don't like begging for that stuff. I say that every time because it's true. But, you know, you got to be your own salesman out here, man, because if I don't tell you about me, you know, who's gonna know? So thank you to everybody who takes the time to do that, man, because it goes a long way into getting these shows into the ears of more people. And that's what I want, man. I want more people to learn about Wes Anderson and the amazing collaborations that he's doing and the work that he's putting in. And the vibes, man, the vibes are immaculate. I'm telling you guys, especially if you love hip hop, man, you got to check out the singles he's put out so far this year. And if you love rock, there's plenty of that too in his archives, and there's more in store. So he's got a little something for everybody, man. So hopefully this conversation, you know, opened up your mind a little bit about new music that you weren't aware of before, maybe. And if not, you got some great marketing action in there as well. From some good old boys from Northwest Ohio, from Toledo, Ohio. All that to say, man, thank you to all of you. Thank you to Wes. I love you all. Once again, you can follow me on Instagram at March 4th Pod. I'm on YouTube at March 4th Pod. The link tree to all of my stuff is in the podcast description for this episode. Shout out again to Tennessee Highlighter. And shout out to all of you, man. I hope this is putting a little pep in your step in your day to day, and that you have a great week. So on that note, thanks again to Wes at Songs by Wes. Keep the faith and be kind to one another. Courtesy of my man Wes, here is his latest single with Kosha Dills and MC Bravado. This one is called Drive Down a Different Road. Peace.
for what it's worth, don't spoil my beats. A lot of haters when I rock in the street. I make a move and it's true. Comparison to you is better than someone who boos from the sideline as a fan. Love, hate, relationship with who the hell I am. Speak to hundreds daily, not everyone a friend. Kinda like I'm good with the dollars, did it always make sense? Like I wrote her 2 dozen letters and none of them sent. Mom says I should own, stop paying the rent. Okay, with what her words be, but fact is we ain't all on the same journey. The definition of success is real. Don't judge a book by its cover, close case, no appeal. Life's always gonna tax you, don't let them choose what you build. Cause when it's all over, you the one who pays the bills. Bills. My flow state, catch a groove. If you don't like the pace of how you grow, get in a different car and drive down a different road.
Hey yo, with the top down, screaming out, money ain't a thing. Especially spending days doing something that you hate. I wake up every day and get to choose what I do. And lucky you, most days I'm making music for you. Flew the Cooper Cup, top rule, used for the two. Matt Stafford cannon, threw you dudes for a loop like Puka Nacua. New star target that you getting used to. Shooter like Hubert Davis, aiming, playing with Ewing. The goofy hubris, confusing the truth. Humor the rumors, Huey Lewis in the news, and this is it. Fluent as a Kuma, movement rooted in Yakuza. You would sue me an intruder as proof to get a grip. Just let the windows down and kick a freestyle. I call my mama and my father once a week now. I find strength in mayhem. I bully beat down the seat down for the guitar with kosher rolling deep now.
Hating on yourself ain't the move. Steering wheel to my flow state, catch a groove. If you don't like the pace of how you grow, get in a different car and drive down a different road.